Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This mommy baby MIA, but I'm still the MVP.
In a world of fashion designers, I choose to sell merch.
Yes, label whore.
And welcome. I'm Tyler.
Come in. I'm Travis.
And this is Privileged Twinks,
a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
which is in fact in Utah.
Yes, Utah.
But today we're in Park City, the international hub of Utah, according to Meredith Marks,
the cultural capital.
I literally, okay, so this episode is starting out in Sundance, so we get Lisa's first glimpse into her crazy weekends of Sundance. We get a party for Justin, and then we see the beginnings of the iconic Brooks Marks fashion show, but we don't actually see the clothes yet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize before this that Sundance was in Utah at all. Is that dumb?
No, because most people just say it's not like it's named after the town. And I don't know. It's usually like when people say Sundance, they don't like talk about Utah.
So. I just had never really thought about where it was before.
Mm-hmm.
But our friends did go this year and they really liked it. So maybe we should think about going at some point.
Think about it, but not commit. I would go though.
I would go too.
Yeah, I just feel like I would do it. I would want to do it bigger.
Do it up.
Yeah, if you're going to like
go
do the do.
You know, this is a audio medium and you're just doing a lot of things with your hands. And silent audio, silent air.
Silence is powerful.
I did want to quickly at the top here plug something of mine.
Ooh.
Me and my friend Kynot have started another podcast called Culture, spelled with a Q, Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. I have it linked in our Spotify page on here. But if you like this podcast, I think you would like that one because we basically just recap every single thing we watched that week and talk about it, which obviously includes all of the Housewives seasons. It includes Traitors. It includes Love is Blind. Some other ones that we included this week, Drag Race UK versus the world. And also we're big Walking Dead fans. I don't know if anybody knew that. So that one is going to be on there because there's a brand new season, as well as Deal or No Deal Island, which is crazy. So if you like any of those shows, I would recommend going over to that podcast too. It's again, it's Culture, Q-U-L-T-U-R-E, and it's linked in our Spotify.
And it's not like a deep dive. It's not like a blow by blow.
Right. It's not recap. It's not really like this podcast where we recap the full episodes. It's more of like what we thought about that week, kind of quickly running through everything we watched.
Yeah.
In a comedic way, as we tend to do. Okay. So now that we've done that, do you want to get into, let's see, we have Traitors Corner.
Yeah.
Phaedra has gone.
Yeah. The writing was on the wall for a long time, sadly.
It was.
Honestly, kudos to dodging it for as long as she did. And Dan really just screwed her and Parvati. So
supposedly they get into it at the reunion.
Yeah.
Which also drops tomorrow with the finale.
Blessings be upon us.
Do you think Sandra's going to weed out Kate, or you think Kate's going to rule it all?
I feel like it's a short... I mean, it would be... surprising. Actually, no, because
no, they Kate, ended the episode with Sandra being like, Kate, why did you do that?
Yeah, I was gonna
why'd
say,
you say Phaedra was selfish?
Right. Kate kind of stuck her neck out. Well, you know what? During the episode, she stuck her neck out there, but that made sense because she was trying to save Phaedra, and Phaedra didn't help herself in her eyes. But the selfish comment was dumb.
Yeah, she looked a little like vindictive when she was talking about Phaedra in the round table.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll.
But for some reason, a couple episodes ago, Sandra also was like, move the bow and arrow down toward CT or toward Trishel.
Well, they had missed so many shots in a row that it made sense to like
try something else.
But she and Phaedra
said Trishel. And so CT,
Sandra said it first.
CT clocked it and was like,
But I bet Sandra just doesn't like Trishel.
Are they in cahoots?
Cahooties.
yeah, I think it is that too.
Sandra's obviously. Just been waiting because for Trishel to get
murdered.
We know she's
not a real traitor. So.
I also really love in the show. Well, I say I really love. I'm always like baffled and I find it amusing that they really do like talk about the murders like they're almost like they're real.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of sad about them and like... Your friend's not on the show anymore. And I don't know, do they tell them to act this part out or do you just get wrapped up in the drama of it all? But sometimes I'm like, they're not really dead. You know, like there's nothing to be really mad about. They just voted somebody off because they thought, you know, it's not
and
like.
And they're also celebrities. It's not like they all need a split of $100,000. I don't think.
Well, whatever.
It just feels like if it was like regular people fighting for $100,000, sure. They like obviously I think they would take it much more seriously, but then it's crazy just to see all these people who already probably have money taking it so seriously too.
Mm-hmm.
I was also talking to this with Kaina on the other podcast, but I was thinking about how much a piece of shit Larsa is on
oh my god
on Miami. Mm-hmm. She is like inarguably.
I just wasn't expecting you to say that. You said you cannot argue with me about that.
You can. She's a piece of shit. But I think that's because that's their real lives. And like that's Gertie's real life that she's talking about in such a nasty way.
Yeah.
But I kind of like her on a show like Traitors. And she's rumored to be on House of Villains. And I'm like, that's what she needs to be on TV for. Something that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Mm. And she can be that villain. But mm-hmm. she, like, when you're choosing to be that much of a villain toward a person with cancer, honestly, go fuck yourself.
Mm. Oh. Hello.
And that's how I feel about Larsa Pippen, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. You want to get into this episode?
Yeah.
We are recapping today season one of Salt Lake City, episode 6. Again, we are starting from the beginning of season one here because we never actually got to recap that. So if you want to follow along with us week to week, this week we're on episode 6. Next week will be 7, and we will be putting this out every Wednesday. So if you want to catch up by then, feel free. And now we shall jump into the Queen of Sundance herself, Lisa Barla.
And I hate to say it, this one's pretty boring.
It was kind of boring.
I feel like
it was definitely a setup episode.
Yeah, I was going to say as an introductory season, like since we didn't know any of these people the first time watching, it wasn't so like dry, but just going back and rewatching, I was like, oh, wow.
It also felt like they were
Nolfin Hoppened.
Literally putting in like so many little clips of each of them because they like didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
Or like they couldn't fill 40 minutes.
They were also like, don't forget what their faces looked like.
Yeah, basically that's what it was. Like they would jump, they jumped around so much in this episode.
Being conditioned.
Oh, before we start, I do kind of want to touch on the whole Heather Ozempic thing of it all.
Oh,
because I am really not liking what she's putting out there right now. Did you see the interview with her?
I did not, no.
Basically, in the interview, so she started taking Ozempic. She's really skinny. She said, like, that she's always been championed as like a body positivity like icon or something like that.
Oh.
Which first of all, I was like,
I don't know that I would say icon, but
I don't know if she used that word. But she basically was like, it's crazy because I've always like stood for body positivity, but now that I've taken this and realized it, body positivity is a myth because we shouldn't be championing like obesity and unhealthy habits. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no.
So I kind of just don't like that you like started taking a skinny pill that is like kind of hard for people to get right now, and now all of a sudden you're like people shouldn't be fat.
Yeah, I mean this sounds like
it's just like
a personal dialogue she shouldn't be having publicly. But I feel like I don't know. She's because did they say if she did she just like get it or did she? I'm assuming she's talking about publicly
diagnosed with it or like given it because of medical reasons.
So this is the thing. If she was given...
And she wasn't... She's not on Ozempic. She's on Semaglutide. Like the...
Whatever.
The non-diabetes one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what I was going to say. If she had insulin, whatever reason they sometimes give that, you know, that can affect your health if you do that and you feel better and you get skinnier and you associate the, like, feeling better with the fact that you're skinnier, then maybe that would, like, lead you to that thought process. Or maybe that's still the same. Maybe she got put on medication and she just feels a lot better. And so now she's like, oh, everybody should be skinny because you feel better.
Yeah, it just feels like, it just seems like a bad look to me.
Yeah. The problem is...
You're one of the few housewives that actually isn't, like, real thin, and then now you're being like, everyone should be like this.
Yeah.
Actually.
The problem is that it's anecdotal. It's like a singular person's experience, and then you apply that to everybody, and that's the problem. It's like, there are people, yes, maybe in your situation, this is fine, but there are lots of people who are not real thin, who are healthy, and who feel great, and are happy. Like, and they don't need you to, like, go on weight loss drugs just to conform to a beauty standard.
Exactly.
And there's a difference between feeling healthy and feeling social pressure to change your body when you don't need to.
T. Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Heather should take note.
Heather, shut the fuck up.
I also, like, I've looked into it so much and it scares me because, like, so many of the studies show that the second people get off of it, they gain the weight back. Like, even the people who change their full diet and everything, which means it does change your metabolism so much. It just, like, scares me. I don't want to, like, get on it and then the doctor says, okay, you don't need it anymore. And then, like, even if you continue the healthy habits, you gain the weight back. Like, that scares me.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll have it to where it's like you have to get, like, weaned off of it or something.
Yeah. But we don't have to worry about that because we're twinks. For all.
I was going to say in spirit, if not in body, but I'm not a twink at all.
No,
not even in spirit.
But to these listeners' ears and to our people who call us, quote, the twinks to each other.
We sound skinny.
I will never forget that one of you all commented. I think it was the Real Housewives on Real Housewives podcast. Commented like, oh, I saw something and I was like, oh, the twinks are going to talk about this. And I was just like, oh my gosh, people refer to us as the twinks. It's so funny. You saw us.
The only time.
Okay, we'll get back to this. So basically we start out with Lisa being like frantic about Sundance. She's in bed on the phone and she's like talking to John, but he's fully asleep.
Yeah.
We see Heather getting her kids ready for school. Meredith is like getting fitted with a fashion designer who like is basically explaining the whole Park City Fashion Week. It's going to be like the first fashion week at Park City ever. You know, the fashion capital of the world, Park City. Brooks is the youngest designer in the show. And they're like at Meredith's store. And then she's basically like, oh no, they're not at the store. This woman is like, you're going to walk in the show. And Brooks is like, why didn't you tell me that? I would have started a juice cleanse last week.
Oh my God. Body positivity.
This is pre-OZMP.
Yeah.
So then we see Jen like on roller skates for some reason, saying that's going to be their team building exercise for the week. We see her fall on the ground and she makes Stuart fan her while she's on rollerblades and hula hooping.
Yeah. I've been trying to watch this like as much as possible without like, you know, just from the, without interjecting like current knowledge into it, but it's also hard to watch it now. You know, you're just like, these, they know at this time. Well, it's not that they're just in jail. It's just like they're doing all this stuff, talking about having, usually we'd have meetings and conference and whatever.
Throwing lavish parties.
And, but all, but the, like, but the whole time, like, they know that their business is a scam.
Yeah. That is crazy.
It's just wild to me.
It is wild.
Like, what do you need conference meetings about? You're just stealing people's money, basically. I mean, I guess, you know, it requires coordination and effort to pull off what they did, but still.
Yeah.
I
can't stop thinking about how many parties she throws this season and next season and all of the whole time it was like defrauded elderly people's money.
Yeah.
Doing it all. That's crazy to think about. But anyway, they're getting ready for throwing a party for 300 people. It's a VIP viewing of her cousin's Sundance documentary that I guess like had so many people that wanted to go to it that he asked Jen if she could throw a like
VIP
screening for more people. Lisa, we find out her marketing company is called Lux Marketing, and she like does some of the biggest times at Sundance with her business. And this is when she says that people call her the queen of Sundance.
Yeah.
We also find out she's one of six children, so she feels like she had to work harder than everybody else to get like attention, I guess. And that one of the things she loves about being part of the LDS church is the constant pursuit of making yourself better. And then John arrives with a ton of furniture for one of the venues, and he gets his own confessional here. And he says, "The days that Lisa is my boss is every day that ends in a Y. But we work really well together." And then the producer's like, "Did Lisa tell you to say that, basically?" And yes, he doesn't deny it.
Yes, she did.
So then,
at least they own everything half together.
Yeah.
And this episode made me really, I wish, you know, in future seasons, they don't really lean too much into her business stuff. And I don't know if that's because of the whole, like, Vita Tequila of it all with the IRS or whatever happened, allegations. Or if just Lisa doesn't want, like, negative press from the show to impact her businesses.
I bet Lisa already has, like, a really good business in the marketing thing. Like, obviously, we know she's probably the richest one on the show, according to sources. And so I feel like on the show, she's just like more worried about focusing on Vita because that's the one that like people across the country can buy.
Yeah. But I just mean like, I just find this part of her interesting. We haven't seen it in a while. And it's like they did in the first season.
They showed it in this season.
But not the same. I don't know. They don't spend a ton of time on it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I would be interested
at Sundance. So.
It's reminding me of her mogulness, and I'd like be interested to see more of it.
It reminds me of the Celebrity Apprentice. Have you watched The Apprentice?
I've seen a couple of random episodes.
I used to watch it. Obviously, this is pre Donald Trump presidency and when he was just like a crazy celebrity. But it's actually so fun. Like the show, the premise of it, I would want to go on it. It's basically like you go to a boardroom, this like lemonade or something is like, "We want to throw an event," and then you have to throw the event, and that's it. You have to do all the marketing, do all the branding, all that stuff. And then like each week it's something different. It's not always an event. Sometimes it's like, I don't know, make a logo.
Yeah,
but it's fun. I'd want to go on it, make a commercial. Things like that. Okay, so then also that was my first introduction to Housewives because Bethany was on it.
Nene was on it.
I think Bethany was on it.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I know Nene was on it, which is funny because at the time I was like, "That's my grandma's name."
Oh.
Okay. So Jen comes over to Whitney's house. And she's wearing a crazy one-piece bathing suit that's like basically the whole front is sheer. And you can see her nipples.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice?
No.
I think they were pasties, but you could like see little round dots.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm assuming they would have to blur that if it wasn't.
Yeah. Pasties. And she had boots on.
Yeah, she gets to the house fully dressed. She changes into a bathing suit. But when she comes out in the bathing suit, she's wearing fur boots and a fur coat just to then take that off and go into the pool.
Yeah.
Or go into the hot tub.
Yeah.
So they're talking about they're getting a party bus for Justin's birthday. Just an FYI, Mary's going to be at the party too, but not on the party bus. Jen says something about Mary being like AARP, which I'm like, are they that different in age?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I was kind of weak. I was like, whatever.
Yeah. She tells Whitney, like, again, she mentions how she was like having a heart to heart with everybody about her heritage. Mary cuts her off, calls her a hoodlum, and that was the last straw, which is definitely not the exact chain of events that happens.
Yeah.
But you know how Jen loves to generalize. Generalize?
Ah! Yeah.
Then she again mentioned something about her being married to her grandpa. So that seems to be a theme with Jen wanting to bring up. But then later in the episode, she denies ever saying anything. So We've seen it on camera twice now. Okay, so then this is when we get Meredith talking to her friend while they're at Meredith's store. And then we cut to Jen. She has like 80 people around her getting ready for Whitney's party. Then she said, oh, then we go to Mary's house and they're showing her housekeeper, which this is the part when she says, like, Shardlinda, who's the housekeeper, is her grandmother's brother's.
It would be her mom's daughter. First cousin.
Yeah, her mom's first cousin. But she's like, I don't know anything about her life except that she's my housekeeper, which is crazy.
Yeah, and it's not crazy that you don't know your, like, that, because that's not unusual to me. But the fact that she works there, you are related and you still don't know anything about her.
And she's worked there for 20 years.
Yeah, that's weird.
But she said some like offhand comment, like she came to the house, she fell in love with Robert and she never left.
Yeah, that was weird. What does, like, that mean?
Everyone in the family wants to fuck him,
I guess,
for some reason.
Mm.
She also was like, let's do it. Like, let's dance. Let's have a dance party. And then Charlinda starts dancing and she's like, that is not it.
Nope.
That's not good.
Mary's just projecting because the time Mary tries to dance, it always looks really awkward.
So then her and Heather have a phone call and she basically is like, it's inevitable I'm going to see Jen at the party. So if I'm going to have to be around people, I don't want to be having such disagreements with them. So like, I might try to mend it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, sorry.
Well, do you think that that's actually,
I mean, it's just like realistic in the sense of like, okay, well,
we're going to be on the rest of the season together
and this is not going to go anywhere. And you don't want every like time. And I assume too, if this is your first season, you know, you're just thinking about like, you're wanting to portray yourself in the best light,
the whole
thing on the show, and to be like, to continue on the show and be like, if every time you get into a room with somebody, it's like a cat fight. Which is kind of what the show wants a lot of the times.
Yeah. So,
like, I could see where you'd be like, I don't really want to, like, be hesitant about it.
I just wish that she would have brought up the grandpa fucker comment at the Getty.
At the Met Gala
party. Mm-hmm. Because now Jen got all, like, mad at Mary, but she doesn't even know what she's talking about. So then now when Mary's going to bring up that comment later, it just feels like that was the time to hash everything out. And instead,
I think she didn't want to bring it up in front of everybody.
I think you're right, too.
Because, like, what's her name? Lisa said she's afraid that's what everybody thinks about when they think of her.
That's true. Okay, so then we go to Justin's party. They start at Whitney's house. He's doing body shots off her.
Yeah.
Quick, come in. We're doing body shots.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, for private parts. What is the age difference between them? I forget. Because what's her name? Was like decades. And I was like, I don't think they're decades.
I think it's like 15 years.
At the most.
Yeah. It's not that crazy.
I feel like she's like 36-ish.
And Heather like literally 52. Says she's decades younger and decades sexier.
Yeah. I was like, okay, she's not like 20 or 30 years younger than he is.
So then they get on the party bus and there's a lot of dancing on Justin from Whitney, like lap dancing, pole dancing, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. The people seem to be, I wasn't looking
at everybody.
There
was a lot of people.
There were a lot of people and they said their parties are big, but I just meant what I was trying to get at is like the average age. Because I wonder, part of me is like, is this a party that she, like, is he enjoying himself? Or is this, like, she more for her?
They get bigger and bigger every year.
I know, but I'm like, if everybody's around her age and the people that she knows, it's like, he just, like, trying to, like, help his wife have a good time? Or is he having a good time?
He looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah. It's really bizarre to me because, or I guess not bizarre at this point, but as a child, I grew up in a more, like, Baptist South culture, and I did not see adults drunk, like hardly ever.
Mm.
And so when I think about, like, even though I am older and wiser. sometimes when I think of, like, when I see somebody who's like Justin being 52, my first thought is like, is he, not that he would get drunk, because that's, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I can't really explain myself very well. It's just still a little bit bizarre to me sometimes. The first thought is like, is he having fun? Why is he doing this? Adults don't do, like, people in their 50s don't do that.
That is my exact opposite childhood
I know.
Experience.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. I know it's wrong and that he is having fun or whatever. But it's, sometimes it's just my first thought.
Yeah. My parents and my grandparents and all their family friends would have so much fun together.
Yeah.
Getting wasted every time, every party. Not wasted, but like drinking a lot. Everybody drank a lot at every party.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of fun. And those parties were really fun as a kid, too.
I didn't know adults that had fun.
You didn't have fun at the wake?
I remember one time when I was in high school at the wake.
What are they called? Revivals.
Oh, yeah. The wake. Yeah, wakes are for funerals.
Wakes are for funerals, sorry.
I remember one time some kid on high school was talking about his dad or his grandpa smoking weed in the backyard. And I was like, adults smoke weed?
See, that is
shocked.
For some reason, in my family, that was never a thing. Like, if one of the kids would smoke weed, or like one of the teens or whatever, uh-huh. It would be such a thing.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
Yes.
Like, a bunch of adults can drink and then
But I thought drugs were
mind
like.
Mind you.
I thought drugs were like a teenage thing when I was in high school, and the adults just like grew out of it and didn't do that.
Yeah.
And nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Anyways,
okay, so then they arrive at their friend Catherine's house, who they say owns Park City Live, which I guess is like a venue where a lot of people come. And her house is really nice.
Yeah.
And Heather says that like she might actually be the queen of Sundance, which is funny, but then I'm also like, it's Sundance right now and she's not there, so
right.
Maybe not, but
she's just shading Lisa.
I was just thinking how this Catherine woman should be on the show. Like, it's interesting that she never was even like a part of it aside from this one party. Maybe she doesn't want
to
do that.
I was going to say, you know, not everybody wants or needs to put their whole life on camera.
It's just her house is very much like giving an Angie K type of house. Like, so she has a lot of money.
Okay.
And she's been on the show.
Yeah, but she has, I don't know,
if you already had lots of money, you wouldn't do the show?
No, I don't think so.
I would. So we do get a little bit of Mary and Jen talking to each other. That's basically the whole thing that happens at this party. Jen said that Mary hurt her feelings, and the only reason that her feelings are hurt is because she cares. Mary said she's sorry.
Sorry, I yawned, but I'm really tired of that. I never want to hear that again.
The whole, like,
I'm only mad because I care.
Yeah.
I only have emotions because I care.
Yeah.
It's like, get over yourself.
Mary also says that she's sorry to Jen, but that Jen did hurt her feelings when she was screaming that Mary was a grandpa fucker. And Jen said, I didn't say that. I never said that to you. And she's like, okay, I guess it wasn't said to me. And then in her confessional, Jen said she was like, drunk, so she doesn't remember everything she said, but she knows she didn't talk to Mary that night. So, which may be true, but she's just basically trying to be like, act like, hope that Mary didn't hear it and then deny it.
Yeah. The only thing that Mary said that was kind of like, I don't know why you're, because she was saying Jen was yelling at her, but Jen wasn't.
Right.
Jen was yelling, but not at her.
Right. Right. So basically Mary says she's willing to move forward, but then in her confessionals, she says she's done with Jen. So, don't know which it is. It was like right after each other. She said that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we see Meredith at her store. Basically, the whole point of this was that we see Brooks being like, "Oh yeah, I need to grab some of my tracksuits for the show, for the fashion show," which is just like, okay. So these are already available in Meredith's store, and then you're gonna grab them for a fashion show.
Yeah,
so I mean, mass-produced things that are already exist.
Right, but listen, not everybody... I don't think you're being fair in this regard, because I don't... Like, not the smaller brands, like the people who start things up, or like make things themselves, like they don't always have, they don't follow the same pattern as big designers because they don't have that money. So they can't like,
yeah, they also don't follow the same pattern as Hanes.
Anyways,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I just mean in general, like there's people that, you know, like if a designer here, like is just starting out and they make clothes and they're trying to sell them to make money,
yeah,
obviously, or online, and then an event happens and they're like, oh, come show your work, so yeah, people can, like, that's, you know, that's the same thing. It's not abnormal.
But I'm thinking about like the markets that we go to here, and a lot of them are just like vintage resellers, but some of the booths clearly make their own clothes, you know. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They don't just have one product.
Yeah, right. You don't have to sell me on that. I'm just saying the other part of it. You know,
the, like, fact, that the fact that they're already made and he's bringing them on.
Yeah, that's not a, like, that's fine.
It just, okay, maybe it's just like I'm thinking of this from a more adult perspective than he's what, 21?
Yeah.
But he gets really upset here and later that Seth won't be able to make it to the fashion show, mm-hmm, his first fashion show and all this stuff. And I'm like, he's already seen the clothes.
Yeah, but I just think it's a the first time he's done that. It's a big event. It's like, it's at Sundance, which is something that happens in the town he's lived in for, like, all the people he knows are, yeah, going to be there.
Later, he does say how moment. Important it is to, like, Sundance is to him, too.
Yeah. So I don't think, and kids, you know, you still want that validation from your parents sometimes. And he's still very young. And, yeah, and he knows his parents are in strife. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
True.
I don't think it's weird.
So then we see Lisa throwing like an event for this, that documentary that came out, McMillions, which we did try to watch, basically about Monopoly and McDonald's, but she clearly wasn't allowed to say the words McDonald's or Monopoly. Uh-huh. So she's like, you know, that classic peel off game, board game from fast food chain in the 90s. Yeah. Yeah. So then she throws that party or whatever. We see Jack and Henry back at home with a babysitter, and they try to FaceTime her and she doesn't answer.
Yeah.
And in her confessional, she says, during Sundance, mommy is MIA and, mm-hmm, the kids get them for themselves.
Fend for themselves. Which at first I was like, well, they have their dad, but then I was like, oh, wait, no, no.
No, he's there too.
Yeah, this is that
they have a babysitter and she doesn't answer the phone when the babysitter calls. That's a little scary.
Yeah. She's like, if it's not for work, I'm not answering.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at least she's honest and clear about it. And it's one week of the year.
Yeah. We see Heather and Whitney meet for drinks. And this is when we find out that, like, basically the Mormon church is so involved in the government that they even, like, limit the amount of booze and the amount of drinks that can be on a table at a time at bars.
Yeah.
In Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see, like, Heather being kind of jealous of Whitney because she, like, always wished for that fairy tale love that Whitney has, but she never felt like she could get that because of, she was married for 15 years to someone she didn't want to be with because of the church.
Yeah.
And all that jazz. And basically this whole thing is just to say that Heather wants to date. Wants someone.
But well, she was talking about how hard it is to date in Utah, but then she also said she was only on Bumble for a week or two, and she went on like 4 dates.
Which is a lot in 2 weeks.
Right, but also it's not like going onto an app and it's gonna get you like a guaranteed relationship in lickety split.
Yeah.
Like, people are on apps for years.
Right, exactly.
Dating around.
Most, you know, people are.
Right. So I mean, it's like you're saying you can't find somebody, but I was like, I don't think you've tried.
I think she's also just saying like, most of the men there her age are Mormon, and she feels like she's already too like shunned by them.
Yeah. I also feel like she is probably still looking in the places that are associated with the people that she knows, you know, that are going to be those types of people. Like, yeah, you gotta break out.
Yeah. So then we see Jen with her party planner. There's like randomly people outside doing the hot tub. And she says like, that's how you get shot, is showing up unannounced. Then we see her getting ready for the party, that is. Heather comes into the party, hugs Jen. In her conventional, she says, "I'm always looking for sex, but not always looking for love."
Yeah, Heather was very... Season one Heather was very okay with talking about
sex.
Yeah, and I'm assuming the backlash she got in her personal life over it.
Yeah.
She said, no, no.
Well, she said, "Can you delete that? That sounded horrible." But
still.
They didn't. They never do that. Whenever someone in a conventional on Housewives or Drag Race or anything is like, "Oh my God, delete that. I shouldn't have said that." They always air both those things.
Yes. Being said. Yes.
Okay. Randomly, Lala and Katie from Vanderpump Rules are there.
Yeah. Park City girls.
Because yeah, they're from Park City.
Katie is. I don't know about Lala. But apparently.
Whitney says they're locals.
Yeah.
Quote. So then they show the documentary. It's about like minorities in Utah. So obviously very like poignant with Jen's life. So, I mean, it makes sense why she would be showing this. Like, I do feel like the Meredith party was like so random, but this one seems like an actual like glimpse into Jen's life more a little bit. Like, we see a lot of her family members. She also sees someone there who like is her childhood friend that she hasn't seen since they were kids, which is wild. And then we see like Lala and Katie talking to Heather again about her love life. And Lala says, "We can at least get laid." And then Heather gets laid. Yeah. She starts flirting with this guy who works for the like TV, the production part of the party. Mm-hmm. And she does say like, "Can you just grab my hand and go outside with me?" But part of me thinks
he was getting something from the truck.
I know. So part of me thinks Heather just wanted to leave the party and like was like looking for an excuse. And then, but they don't show him come back in. So I don't know.
Yeah. They definitely lean into the, "This is what happened." So I don't know.
Yeah. They definitely do that. Okay. Then probably the funniest moment that I completely forgot about happens where Meredith and Brooks are getting ready to go to the fashion show, and Meredith says like, "Okay, Brooks, are you ready?" And they show him fully wearing a face mask, so not ready at all.
No.
He said, "Can you say we're gonna be 15 minutes late?" And then she's like, "No, you're an adult and this is your fashion show, so you should be the one to call her if you're gonna be late."
Yeah.
Then he's like, "I forgot my socks, where's my lint roller?" And Meredith's like, "I'm leaving in 10 minutes, you better be ready." And then all of a sudden, the fire alarm starts going off really loudly. The dog starts barking crazy. Brooks literally asks Meredith 4 times, "Were you cooking something?" And Meredith says no every time. And then says, "No, for the 4th time, I wasn't cooking anything." Then, apparently the reason the alarms are going off is because the toilet started overflowing in the basement, I'm guessing.
I don't know how that would set an alarm off, but...
For some reason it was. So Meredith's trying to call like a repairman and she's like, "It's an emergency. We need this to like the alarms to go off and the toilet is to fix and blah blah blah." And then the dog's still barking and then the dog poops.
Yeah.
Like on the wet floor. All this to say, oh, and then Brooks is saying, like, "What the hell? I can't do this right now." I just was like, how is this person screaming in monotone somehow? Can't even think, like, I don't even know how that's possible.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, he is.
He's really like, "I can't take this right now."
Yeah.
So then they show up. They are 45 minutes late, apparently. Yeah. But the lady doesn't really seem to care because
it's not a big deal.
They don't really have to be fitted.
Right.
For sweatshirts. But Brooks does get his own confessional.
Which he looks a lot like his mom.
He does, yeah. You know. He said he's always loved Sundance, and it's crazy now that he's getting the opportunity to like partake in something so big at Sundance. But he does say, "I don't know how I got so lucky. Actually, I do. It's my mom."
Yeah. At least he knows.
Whitney is there and Meredith says something like, "Don't trip, ha ha ha." And for some reason, they chose to loop her laugh. Like,
that was so weird.
It went like, ha 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 ha. Like, yeah. It was like reverse looped. I don't understand why they did that.
I don't either. I think they were just filling space.
Yeah, this whole episode was filling space. Meredith said that, like, Seth sent a video to Brooks. It says, like, today's your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get out of your own fucking way and climb it. And he basically is just, like, really, really sad that he's not there to support the show. And we get a confessional of Meredith basically saying, like, she knows she was the one that said she needed space from Seth. So that's why he's not there.
Yeah.
But she feels, like, really...
She fucked up.
Yeah, she feels like she fucked up. And I think more, not even just in this moment, she's thinking about, like, if her marriage fails, she feels like she's failing her kids in a certain way. Because she knows when her parents got divorced, it, like, wrecked her.
Yeah.
And so she's just kind of, like, crying because she's like, I feel like I failed them.
I see. I took it more as, like, I think she was saying she was younger when her parents divorced. Maybe she was still a kid. And so she would want to protect her kids from that. And maybe she's, like, been good about it in a lot of ways, but she's realized, like, she missed this part. Like, she inadvertently hurt Brooks because of the fight she's having with Seth. And that makes her sad.
I think that's both things, yeah.
But, yeah. Well, I mean, at least her kids are all grown.
Yeah.
I mean, we know they don't get divorced, but if they had.
Right. We know they're better than ever. Sitting in that little tub right now. Podcasting.
Yeah.
All right, that's the end of the episode.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes. We get a next time on. We see Brooks confronting Seth on the phone. We see Whitney's dad saying his therapist says he's ready to move out of the sober home, which we know is not a good thing. Lisa and John talk about her, like, having too many businesses, and she's like, I don't think it's too many, and he's like, maybe it is. And then we see Jen talking to Whitney about Meredith cheating, possibly, which I forgot this was, like, a thing so long. Like, I kind of forgot this was season one that this all happened.
Right.
We see her say, if you're not getting it from home, you're going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Shady boots.
So, and then if I remember right, she, like, denies she was even spreading rumors later.
It's crazy.
She really
It was all on camera, girl.
Yeah. Let's just say I wouldn't want to be too many tequilas in and on camera. And then try to remember what I said exactly. But, yeah.
I mean, truly. I think if I was on a show like this, I would just record myself. Like, I'd have my own mic and just record it and then listen back the next day. Be like, what?
The whole dinner.
I know, yeah. Just on mic 2X.
That's crazy.
And just make sure I didn't say anything crazy.
And then what if you did? Then what?
Well, then you can prepare. You know, you have time. You have advance warning.
Yeah.
If somebody tries to say you said something you didn't,
then you'd be like, well, I know I did, actually.
Nah.
And then in your confessional, you'd be like, I actually record every single thing of my whole life. I actually have implants in my eyes, and this is a Black Mirror.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, that is the end of that. It looks like, okay, obviously next week is going to be the fashion show, too. But I don't even remember, like, it feels like not much is going to happen next week either.
Probably.
Yeah. I think there are 13 regular episodes in the season, and then the reunions. So we shall look forward to watching those little tracksuits walk across that little stage next week.
And Brooks, I remember he's so serious too. I don't think he doesn't smile or anything.
He doesn't. He just walks. And the only difference is his shoes also say Brooks Marks, if I remember right. All right. Enough making fun of that little privileged twink. We'll be back next week for episode 7. So stay tuned. And if you liked this episode, please subscribe. Please rate it 5 stars wherever you're listening. If you're on Spotify, I do put up a little question and a poll each week so you can have something to answer. But we also have an Instagram, which is at Privileged Twinks. Each week I do put up a little graphic of the episode title. So if you want to pop on there, it's a good place to comment, and I will see everything that you're talking about with us. Definitely go check out my new podcast, Culture with a Q, Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. If you want to hear more shallow conversations about every TV show I'm watching right now. And that's it. I'm Tyler. Thank you for listening.
I'm Travis. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.